Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. Today, I want to talk to you about something I think that's very important because these days you don't have to go far to hear something negative about church, something negative about organized religion. And many people today just have been turned off to church, or they don't like church, or they just don't care for it. And while others still are strongly opposed to it, you can find people saying, well, I just don't believe in organized religion, or the church is full of hypocrites, or God knows my heart, but I just don't feel like I necessarily need to show up on a Sunday. So there's so many different arguments I feel against the church and coming to church. So I'd like to take a few weeks to talk about the purpose of the church. Amen. Look at somebody and say the purpose of the church. So if you're going to come to church, if you are going to be a part of the church, you may as well understand the purpose of the church. So I want to dive in a little bit about that today. Jesus was walking with his disciples and they arrived. They entered the city of Caesarea Philippi. And he posed a question in Matthew 16, 13 through 18. He said, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then he asked them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. So Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. Upon this revelation I will build a people. The revelation is Jesus as the Messiah. Amen?
Yes.
The Son of the living God. The people are his church. It's important to understand. The first thing is the idea of church isn't a man's idea. It's a God's idea. The church is God's idea. It's not man's idea. It's not man's vision. It's God's vision. We can look over history and we can see how sometimes men have mucked it up, but it's still originally God's vision. And even when it's gotten off track with the implementation of the vision, we still have a need to return back to the vision that God gave us through Jesus. Jesus bringing together a people, an ecclesia, his church. That is the vision of Jesus. That is the desire that God has for us. So the first thing that we have to settle is this is not man's idea, but it's God's idea. And if it's God's idea, our response is not if we'll be a part of it, it's how do we be a part of God's church. It's not if we should come to church, it's how we walk that out. If Jesus said, I'm going to build a church, believe you me, he's going to build a church. Jesus said, I'm bringing together a people. That's exactly what he's going to do. That part isn't up to interpretation. That's straightforward. That is the vision of Christ. That is the desire of God, to bring his people together. From 2003 to 2015, there was a show called Mythbusters. And I don't know, you might have saw it. It's a pretty cool show. And every week they would take an urban legend and see if they could prove that it was true or not. All kinds of things that people thought, you know, urban legends, they would use science to prove if it was a myth or it was a reality. When we look at the church and beliefs about God, there's a few myths that we have to bust. Okay. There's something beautiful about truth that will dispel misinformation. When we deliver clearly truth, it cancels out the lie of the enemy. And so that's what we want to do. And if there are myths about church, we as Christians have to be able, we have to be equipped to bust those myths.
Right.
The first myth that we need to bust is that you can practice Christianity on your own. You ever heard that? I can practice Christianity. I'm going to do God. I'm going to serve God on my own. I'm going to do it my way. So this is the myth. You can practice Christianity on your own. There's nowhere in Scripture that tells us that we can practice Christianity on our own. I challenge you to look from Matthew all the way to Revelation, and you will see there's no place that Jesus or the apostles talk about doing Christianity on their own. That's never been a part of God's plan, and that never will be a part of God's plan. God does not desire lone rangers. God desires a community. God said, I'm going to build a church. Jesus said, I'm going to bring people together, a people. So every time you hear someone say that they're going to do God on their own terms, understand you can only do God on His terms. There's no way to do God on your terms. I'm not doing God on my terms. Nobody can do God on their terms. That if you think you're doing God on your terms, you're only deceiving yourself. God, the only way that we can serve God, the only way, if you want to follow God, you have to follow His rules. You have to do it His way. The very God that some people are claiming to follow, they're not following His rules. It's a living contradiction. So whatever God does always comes back to community. I want to show you that. Even when God chose Abraham, it was so that He could build a people. God never said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you to be a lone ranger. I'm going to bless you, and it's just all about you and me. God never, ever said that to Abraham. And Abraham, as you know, is the father of the faith. Abraham is what God began to build a nation, the principle of following Him off of. In Genesis 17, 1 through 5, He said to Abraham, He said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make covenant with you by which I will guarantee you countless descendants. His covenant was He was going to make a community out of Abraham. At this, Abraham fell face down on the ground. Then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I'm changing your name. You'll no longer be Abram. Instead, you'll be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. So out of Abraham came a family, and came a nation, and came ultimately Israel. Even when God chooses a man, He is building a people. Even when God chooses a woman, He's building a people. We have to understand God is building community, not a person. We live a lot of times in a selfish construct, like that's a big thing prevalent in American culture, is very self-centered, a self-centered thought process. But God is about building a people. That's why God changed Abram's name to Abraham. He saw him making him into a community. When God begins with you, it's very personal. But it doesn't end there.
Right.
His desire for you is to enter into His family, to enter into His community. It starts on a very personal level, but it ends in community. It ends in the family of God.
Right.
God's design is community. Jesus said, upon this revelation of me being the Messiah, I'm going to build a church. So the myth number one, I don't need community, I just need Jesus. That myth is busted. You can look at the Word of God. Anybody that says that, they just need to spend a little bit more time reading the Scripture. Because the Scripture says, Jesus said, I'm going to build a church. I'm going to build a church. One of the main purposes of the church is community. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another person.
Right.
I was told that the hunters in Africa would take two axes because they needed to be able to use them to sharpen against each other. Sometimes along the way, using them or them banging around in the equipment, they would get dull. So they would need to take the two axes to sharpen them together. You cannot sharpen your iron without more iron. That's the problem of doing Christianity solo. You cannot sharpen your own iron. It's difficult, if not impossible, to sharpen, get sharper in the spirit when you isolate yourself. Community will help you grow. Look at somebody and say, community will help you grow. Being around other believers will help hold you accountable to grow and not drift in your theology. People get to some crazy places about their thought process on God and about spiritual principles because they got nobody around them to sharpen their iron. When you isolate, there's nobody to confirm or challenge your spiritual ideas. God gives us community so that when somebody comes up with a crazy idea, the community can say, that doesn't sound right. You need to pray on that some more. You need to work on that some more. You need to take that back to the prayer closet. There's other people that can encourage you and help you get back on track. There's nobody that is perfect. And anyone can misinterpret scripture. That's why we need each other. That's why we need community. Have you ever drawn a wrong conclusion about something in life and about maybe mundane, regular stuff, and you thought that was reality until you talked to somebody else and they set you straight? That is the beauty of community, that you didn't have to go your whole life thinking that fallacy was a reality. That's what we do. That's one of the things that we do in community. I can tell you there's things that I thought were true, but I thank God I had some people around me. It's happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to you.
Right.
It's happened to pretty much all of us over the course of our life. We think something is right, and we take it as truth until somebody that cares about us, that's around us, loves us enough to point it out. The spiritual community works like that. One of the ways iron sharpens iron is by correcting misinterpreted scripture or misunderstood theology. So another way iron sharpens iron is when somebody in the community isn't following the teachings of Christ, they pull them to the side and say, hey, as the scripture says, you rebuke them in love, right? And so when somebody isn't following the teachings of Christ, that's the beauty of community. You have other people that can pull you to the side and say, hey, you need to give this some thought. Have you thought about this scripture? When you love somebody, you speak up, right? You don't just let them continue to do the wrong thing that's going to hurt them, right? Fake love is standing by. Real love rebukes when needed. Community also encourages. God's community should find ways to help each other grow. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. So we're encouraged in community. We're corrected in community. We're challenged in community. Yes, community can be messy. Look at somebody and say, yes, community can be messy.
Yes.
Right? Anytime you get a few people together, there's going to be some differences of opinion. There's going to be some personality conflicts. But that doesn't mean that we have the right to give up on the vision that Jesus gave us of him bringing a people together. People can get on your nerves. Yes, there will be personality conflicts. But community is essential. And community is the vision of Christ. If you're following the commands of Christ, community is the only way. And Jesus modeled community for us, right? Have you ever noticed Jesus chose 12 disciples, not one?
That's right.
He didn't just choose one person. He chose 12 because he was building community. Then he had 72, right, that he worked with and he sent out, right? He was building a community. Jesus not only taught that community was the way, he demonstrated that community was the way. Community is the way. The church is Jesus' vision. Jesus said on this revelation that he is the Messiah of the world, he's going to build a church. That's not man's idea, that's God's idea. And if it's God's idea, it's not up to you and I to decide if we're going to do it. It's up to you and I to decide how we do it, how the Spirit is showing us how to do it, how to be the church that he desires. It's impossible to fulfill the teachings of Christ alone. Love your neighbor. It's difficult to love your neighbor if you don't have a neighbor around you. It can only be done in community. Community. Community is a blessing to us. It's where we're healed. It's where we're encouraged. It's where we're corrected. It's where we learn. It's where we grow. There is a purpose for God's church.
Right.
It's our assignment to discover what that purpose is and to walk that out. That purpose blesses us. That purpose blesses the world. Will you bow your heads? Let me pray with you today. Jesus, thank you for coming to earth to demonstrate love and to lay down your life for us and to redeem us. But not only that, to build a community, to build a people, to build a church. God, I thank you that you can show us the value and the importance of what it is, not just to come to church, but to be the church that you desire. And not to give up on that, even when we have personality conflicts and somebody sits in our seat, or somebody doesn't sing the song we wanted them to sing. God, teach us to be the church you desire. To love our neighbor, to love our brother, to not forsake coming together, to find ways to motivate each other, to spur each other on in our faith. God, I thank you for community. Thank you for your church. And as heads are bowed, maybe you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. I've been drifting, but I want to connect. I want to reconnect. I want to have that relationship with him. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you today. Whether you're coming to Christ for the first time or you're saying, I need to come back to him. I've drifted. Amen. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you right where you are today. Amen. Amen. The most important decision that we make is to say yes to Jesus, or to say, yes, I'm coming back. If you slipped up your hand, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And everybody that agrees with this prayer, you can say this prayer too. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you for redeeming me. And I'm sorry for the times I've sinned, times I've drifted, times I've did it my way. Forgive me. I want to follow you. I want to follow your teaching. I want to follow your example. Help me live a life that pleases the Father. Walk with me, Jesus. Teach me how to do that. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God the praise today. Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.